ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
One of the great aspects of life on a college campus is collegiate sports. The spirit, the enthusiasm, the memories that come with following your favorite team can stay with you throughout your life. On this edition of UWM Today, we do our annual basketball edition as we interview the coaches of the UWM men's and women's Division I basketball teams. Women's coach Kyle Recklitz returns for her fifth season as head coach of the women's team, and Lavelle Jordan is about to begin his first year leading the men's team. Welcome to both of you, and Lavelle, let's start with you. You're new to the block, relatively new to Milwaukee as you begin your career as the basketball coach of the Panther team on the men's side. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom, for having me. It's been a whirlwind, but it's been a great welcome from the entire city of Milwaukee, obviously the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, our local community, and our athletic department, coaches like Kyle and others in our department. So our family is really excited and glad to be here.
And you're not unfamiliar with the Horizon League because your own background had you as a player here in Milwaukee, only on a different team.
That's right. Yeah, I've been here in Milwaukee before on the other sideline. So, very familiar with the league, and not as familiar with the city. Learning a lot about the city of Milwaukee and the community around us, but pretty familiar with Wisconsin Milwaukee's tradition in terms of the men's basketball program and the university.
Played for Butler for many years, and some people say you were pretty good on the court.
I had good teammates.
And then your most recent gig over at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, no, it's been great. I've been fortunate to have great mentors in the coaching career. You know, as I decided to get into coaching, guys that have really had an impact on the way I see the game, the impact that our role can have on young people. So following a lot of, what I've learned from coaches like John Beilein, Todd Licklider, Thad Mata, who I played for, Brad Stevens, who I worked with. Just a lot of good friends and mentors in this profession.
One of those folks going on and coaching in the NBA now.
That's right. Yeah, Brad and I have a close relationship. We were assistants together versus Milwaukee at Butler. And so he and I remain close to this day.
Well, and Kyle, for you, you've got this new kid on the block here. welcome as you begin your fifth season. You're sort of the old hand now, right?
I'm the super senior, the fifth-year super senior. We have a couple of those on our team as well. But it's been awesome having Val around, Coach Val. We get along very, very well, and it's been nice to just bounce ideas off and have that fresh face, somebody that brings that new excitement into the athletic department, I think, is always good. It just kind of rejuvenates everybody. And yes, I'm going into my fifth year. It's been a roller coaster ride, but I definitely think we are on the upswing. I've had to learn a lot of patience over the years, and we're finally getting that culture in place, finally getting the players that we know can really take us to the top. And we're, I think, going to be bidding for a championship this year.
Well, let's talk about that roller coaster because you were way at the top last season. You surprised, I think, a lot of folks with just a really, really strong season. Another tournament bid went to the NIT. A lot of success last year.
Yeah, well, we were picked ninth going into the season, and I realized we were going to be. We had lost a really great player in Ashley Green the year before, who was a first-team all-conference, and so I think a lot of people felt like we didn't have a lot coming back. And I just really knew what Ashley and that other senior class of Macy, Duro, and Hannah Call had brought to us was just the leadership aspect. They had really changed the culture and really left a legacy on our program. So once they departed, I really knew our younger players knew how to play and knew how to win. And so we just kind of took off. We put a new defense in last year that really kind of sparked our energy. And we ended up finishing second in the conference and runner-up in the conference tournament. And now our players, after going to the WNIT, are very hungry. They came into the postseason, into the summer, with just a little extra motivation, and it's really helped take our program to new heights.
Lavelle, on the other hand, you're coming in and the table is being set fresh, right? I mean, you have a lot of young players, and this is really your opportunity to begin building the program with the style of player, with the type of player that is going to work best in your system.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, there was, you know, with change, there can be attrition, and you know, we appreciate the guys that remained. We ended up signing six new players in the spring, over the spring and summer. That are all here now, and there's a lot of new, so we're getting familiar with each other. Obviously a new system, new coach, new terminologies, a new culture and way to do things. So we've put a lot of time into building exactly that, just the culture and the habits that we want to create, whether that be off the court and on the court as well.
What is your philosophy when it comes to leading a program like the men's team?
Well, I think you start there. You have to have talent, and you have to have culture. And so, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I think if you have the right culture, you know, Milwaukee's an attractive place where we can really recruit talented student athletes to Milwaukee, regardless of what athletic program it is. And so, we've put a lot of stock in our culture, just how we have six core values that we preach to our guys, and we try to ingrain in them, and then get them to realize it's probably what they've been raised on their entire lives. There's a way to operate, you know, off the court, be on time when time is involved. There's things that you do just as a young person, as you grow into your adulthood, that matter. And if you build that, it carries over onto the court.
And of course, you're going to be playing in a spiffed up new home. A lot of work done at the UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena over the last summer. Nearly $7 million in improvements.
Yeah. No, we're extremely excited about that. You know, I've kind of gone back and forth. We've taken some recruits down there to visit, and they're excited about it. I think our players, our current players that were here last year that are returning, will be thrilled with the locker room additions, and you know, it'll have a whole new breath of life to it. And so it's exciting. Can't wait to get down there and open up.
Do facilities make a difference when it comes to recruiting? Lavelle, you first. You talked about the Panther Arena.
Yeah, you know, I think it becomes an arms race. You know, does it matter? You need a bat. You need 94 feet. You need a basket that's 10 feet high. And, you know, you need lines so you can go play on the park if you're a competitor. But it is in the day and time that we live in, young people are impressionable. And so the one thing that one of the things that the facility investments show is the care level for the program, that the university feels like athletics is important. They're willing to invest, and your opponents, you know, can't use that against you if you have nice facilities and your school's showing that commitment.
It doesn't hurt to have a great big giant 100-foot sign with the
Not
university's name in bold
so
letters
nice.
And the part of downtown.
That's really nice. Yeah, and I love the fact that we're downtown. You know, we show well when we bring student athlete or prospective student athletes to come visit Milwaukee. The city is impressive, the campus is impressive, and the arena downtown is certainly impressive.
And Kyle, how about you? What's the key to recruiting the women who come to Milwaukee to play basketball?
Well, we don't play down at Panther Arena, and we do a couple games every year, but we don't play down there a lot. I do love having the signage on the outside, though, because when we do have official visits and recruits in town for that, we definitely sell that part of it. It's just, you know, having that branding name out there and being a part of the city as well as just campus. But we play on campus, actually, at Clatchy, and it's been awesome. I actually love that atmosphere for us, because I think as much as, you know, having an arena, I think filling the arena is just as important as having a nice facility, as having people in the stands. And we actually draw a pretty good crowd for the women's games. And I think the more that we win, the more that people are going to come. And so being on campus, I think, really helps the student body get to games. It helps people, local people in the Shorewood community, come out and see us play. And so I actually like being on campus as well, because I think it gives you that connection to the campus community. So, but I agree. I think facilities are very important. We actually have new video boards the last year and a half down at the K. We've got you know, VIP seating that's now been put in. So they're really doing, the athletics department has done a great job, administration, of really trying to update, I think, both of the facilities to really reach this next generation, you know, which is very, it's a little bit more flashy of a generation. They want to see some of that, you know, glitz and glamour.
And it doesn't hurt that that the state will be considering in a few months the request to build a new basketball practice facility right on campus. Fingers crossed on that.
Yes.
But it's a privately funded, and yeah. What a terrific asset that would be for both of your programs, right?
Oh, it would be huge just to have that recruiting tool to have that space needed, just even for our players to be able to get extra shots up during the day, will help elevate, I know, our program, and I'm sure Coach Val feels the same way.
Yeah, no question. And one of the bigger things that it impacts is just the efficiency for our student athletes, mm-hmm. from a student athlete welfare perspective. You know, class scheduling around it, because we have the facility, you have a place that you can go, becomes a little bit easier just to be able to manage their time and their day. So, you know, fingers crossed.
And just for a matter of perspective, for our listeners' benefit, that practice facility would be built just east of the Clatchy Center. There's a surface parking lot there, and it would all be connected. And again, as Lavelle said, take the pressure off the Clatchy Center, which is doing almost 24/7 duty, it seems,
absolutely.
Serving the academic needs, recreational needs, and then the basketball program needs, as well as all the other sports that practice in there.
I think it helps the other sports just as much as it helps us. That's right. It just right now, sometimes, you know, you walk in, you have a practice, and then you've got, you know, volleyball running on, you know, another court five, and then you've got track running around in a circle. And
baseball,
yes,
balls flying.
Yeah.
It's not a place to come in and get a nice, relaxing, quiet moment alone, right?
No. But I always tell our players that actually I think helps prepare us on the road in distracting circumstances. You know, a lot of times you're on the road and the crowds are loud or there's something going on, and how are you going to channel your energy to what we're focused on the court? We do that every single day in practice. So we're used to it.
Let's talk a little bit about the value of Division I athletics in the first place. There, you know, clearly their resources are always an issue. Universities are always asking themselves, where do we use the money that we do get most effectively? What is our role? What is our mission? From your perspective, how do you see Division I basketball and the other D1 teams? I think we have 14 D1 teams, 14 sports in all. How do you see that fitting in to university life?
I think like you mentioned earlier, that connection, obviously the spirit, the enthusiasm, and that it connects with your alumni. If they have a great experience watching our women's basketball team, our women's soccer team, any of our teams, you know, there's a deep connection there to come back, to give back in the future. I think for our current student athletes, you know, a big part of, and Kyle and I actually talk about this all the time, is the mentorship piece. The values that are being instilled through athletics, regardless of sport, you know, builds a confidence, leadership skills, things that carry on, you know, post graduation. That one of the things we say is we want guys to, you know, we want great husbands, great fathers, and community leaders. And I think that transcends to, you know, great spouses, right, and great parents and great community leaders from all of our student athletes when they leave here.
And I think just even the pride that goes in with athletics can affect so much on the outside, too. I remember a few years ago when our men's basketball team surprised a lot of people and ended up going to the NCAA tournament. Well, there was a direct effect with enrollment that next year. We had our enrollment numbers increased. And so I think, you know, being that spotlight, being that front porch kind of to the university of, you know, being able to be out there and get our name out maybe on ESPN, or can actually drive students to actually want to be a part of the Milwaukee experience as much as our student athletes gain. I think the student body also gains a lot having a Division I athletics program.
It's interesting, Tom. I was talking to a close friend who's a significant business leader, and in his department and his organization, he hires a great deal of number of student athletes, former student athletes, just because of, you know, you got to think about what these young people go through on a daily basis. Our guys, for instance, right now we're practicing at 6 a.m. They get done, then they have classes, say from 9 to 11. They have to find some time to eat lunch. We're coming back for a second practice at 1. Then they have study hall. And then we have weight training after that. And so their days, and I know coaches are the same in all of our sports, you know, we're all putting in, we get 20-hour work weeks, basically, to use 4 hours maximum a day that we are allowed to use through our weeks to try to plan and be efficient with their time. But it, you know, for them to grow, be able to manage their time, manage their energy, and make it through academically and perform athletically, you know, when they're done, they're ready for, you know, a lot of things that come at them in life, and to be able to help and work in an organization.
Do any of your players hope to play beyond college at the professional level?
I know in our sense, we've a lot that want to play overseas, international basketball. I think, you know, the WNBA is a little bit smaller number-wise, and so you have to be the best of the best to be able to play in the WNBA. I don't think that many of our players have necessarily that goal. More or less, they want to experience what life is like overseas and have that opportunity. I still have some of my alumni right now that are actually still playing overseas, and Angela Rodriguez being one of them, who was a very successful player a couple years ago. So far, she's played in quite a few different countries, and she's also played for the Mexican national team. So I know that that's definitely a goal, but we talk a lot more about the academic side on the women, especially in the women's game, because that even if you do go play overseas, that's not lasting very long. You know, your max is probably a 4 to 5 year run at that, and then you need to have a great quality degree to back you up so that you can get a really good job and have a great profession afterwards.
But what a great experience to spend 3 or 4 or 5 years traveling the world.
Absolutely. And getting to do something you still love, which is playing basketball. I mean, you're getting paid, paid to play, which is kind of nice, yeah.
How about, Lavelle, how about your players?
Yeah, I think that's the dream. It was my dream as a student athlete to you're watching back then, you know, guys like Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas, and, you know, you're wanting to be one of those guys one day in the NBA. Now, you know, statistics suggest that that's not very likely for many. But I think playing for a career, I played over in Europe for a season myself in Bergen, Norway. I played a year in the NBA D League. And so, you know, we embrace that dream. We just want guys to do it with a degree. You know, play as long as you can and do it with a degree so that when that day is done, because there will come a time when that day is done, that you're ready to move on into the next chapter of life. But, you know, we embrace that dream for all our guys.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujak, and joining us in the studio for our annual basketball edition are the head coaches of the women's and the men's basketball teams at UWM's Division I program. We have Kyle Recklitz now in her fifth season as the women's head coach, and Lavelle Jordan, new to Milwaukee, his first season, inaugural season, about to get underway. I'd like to talk to both of you a little bit about your upcoming season. Got a few other things we want to get into, but we couldn't do a program without you pulling out your future, your crystal ball, and look at the future and give us and maybe the listeners a sense of what they can expect to see on the court. Kyle, let's begin with you.
Well, as I said earlier, we finished second last year in the conference, and the great thing about it is we have pretty much everybody returning. We have four of our starters returning, our top four leading scorers, and then we've got everybody from 6 through 9 back as well. So it is predicted to be quite an excellent year. Our rankings haven't come out yet for the league, so I don't know where we're going to be picked, but I would guess we'll be picked in the top three. And I think we should finish in the top three. I think the expectations are very high for us to have a great season. And we're playing some really tough competition this year in the non-conference. And we have some really great teams coming to our place. We have Western Illinois is actually our home opener on the 13th. But then right after that, coming to our place is Wisconsin on November 22nd. So we're really hoping to pack the gym for those two games. And then later in December, on a Sunday, we have Northwestern coming in right around the middle of the month. So two Big Ten teams coming to our house, I think, is a big accomplishment. Anytime you can get those teams to travel to you. So we're really, really looking forward to that in the non-conference season as well. But it should be a great year for us if we can continue to keep everything clicking and keep everybody healthy.
What style play are you going to have with this next season?
Fast,
up-tempo.
We've actually gotten into really good shape. We have an excellent strength and conditioning coach, Matt Holt, who's put a lot of time in dedicating himself into just the nutrition and the conditioning and strength side. So our team we're in better shape than I think most teams in our league. So we're able to push the pace. We're going to press more than we have. We're starting to trap out of our defense a little bit more. So hopefully you'll see a lot of high energy plays, a lot of hustle plays, and just some all out effort, because with the shape that we're in, our players better be giving all-out effort or they're going to be sitting on the bench because they're actually capable of doing that. So we're really excited about where we're at from that standpoint, and I think it's really turned our team, kind of morphed us into a little bit more of that physically, mentally tough team that can play for longer periods of time at a high level.
And Lavelle, how about on the men's side?
Well, you were in a little different scenario than Kyle here, where, you know, again, six new guys, and obviously with my staff and I being new, you know, we are we're growing all together. Me in this role as a head coach, staff growing together in terms of working together, and then obviously the team. So I like what I enjoy right now about our guys is that they really like each other. So in practice, we had a scrimmage here recently against an outside opponent. We've been sharing the ball, and playing unselfishly is something we have to do. We're going to have to be a good team together. And so guys have been playing really unselfish. We're putting our ladder on the defensive wall and trying to be as good as we can defensively. And I think guys have embraced that, and there's some requirements there to be able to sustain that, you know, for a 40-minute game. But I'm looking at our guys right now saying, you know what, the buy-in is there. They like each other, and that's a really good thing. They're connected off the court. They spend time together. And so we're just going to have to be a team. We compete. They're embracing competition and be passionate about daily improvement. Like, we just got to get better each day.
How about shooters? You got anybody who can could take it from downtown?
Yeah, we got shooters. You know what I like? And I like makers. And so if we can get some makers, that's really what we're after. But we put a lot of time in shooting the basketball. You know, our afternoon sessions have been a little bit lighter, more of offensive review and trying to learn our plays offensively, and then spending time with skill, with shooting, so that, you know, we can we're going to play up the court and play fast and try to play the game with space. Obviously, you have to be able to shoot to spread people out. And so the one guy that's got a reputation for that is Cody Wickman, who's a returning fifth-year senior. He's getting his master's degree. So we were excited about him graduating, and he can really shoot the basketball. And all of our other guys, we measure shooting each day, are really improving each and every day in that area. So it'll help, you know, help spread the court out, help us play a little bit faster up the floor. We have to take care of the ball, value the ball better. Right now, there's probably too many turnovers for coaches liking, but that will improve. And as the best teaching tool, as Coach said, we know is the bench. And so guys are starting to understand the value of every possession by taking care of the ball.
Kyle talked about the strength and conditioning program on the women's side. How about the men?
I think it's good. We've had a young guy, Jeremiah Bell, for instance, who's coming to us from Vincennes Community College. He's from Louisville, originally from Louisville, Kentucky. He's gained 14 pounds since he arrived here, and he's a combo guard, 6'1". He can shoot it. He can play a little point guard. He can shoot the basketball and play off the ball as well. But, you know, to see his body change from what it is, what it was when he arrived to what it is now. So Brian Wiseman, our strength and conditioning coach, deserves a lot of credit. And on the other side, a young man like Bryce Enzi, who's from Arrowhead High School here in Wisconsin. You know, Bryce missed his entire senior year with a broken foot, and so he came in a little out of shape, and now he's trimmed down. His body looks really good. And, you know, he's confident in his abilities. His strength and mobility is improving every day. So Brian does a great job with our guys. I go up there and listen to the room, and there's energy and enthusiasm when we're in the weight room also.
Both of you have seen a lot of prospects come into your programs. You've played with a lot of players. You've coached a lot of players. Is today's collegiate athlete any different personality-wise or style-wise from when you first started?
Do you have another 30 minutes for a radio show? I think this is what we talk about probably more than anything, is just how the generations have changed. And actually, one of my assistants, Anya Covington, put together a little presentation for our staff, and we did a little whiteboard session with some other coaches all about the difference of this generation. And, you know, the hard part is they can be labeled sometimes as some negative. There's a lot of negative connotations that come out, and that's really unfair to them because there's a lot of really good stuff too. You know, this generation is, you know, entrepreneurial. We have actually one of our student athletes who, you know, is doing some of her own business stuff already as a player. You know, they're very entrepreneurial. They're very trustworthy. Once you earn their trust, they will be very loyal to you. So there is definitely the need for instant gratification because they're so technologically advanced. They need to know now everything that's going on. But if you have another half an hour, we could talk about this for a long time.
Yeah, one of the big things that and coaches, Kyle's, she's dead on, is I don't know if it's so much the young people in the generation, is just the things around them are different. You know, I think kids are the same, and they make kid mistakes, but people around them may want things a little faster to happen, and so they have to be able to block out some distractions.
Because family, friends, a lot of pressure, right?
And you have new channels to be able to express it, and you have social media that where they can go, and other fans can actually go talk to them on social media, and it's probably not friendly talk, and so they have to be able to block out a number of things that, back when I was playing, you didn't know what people were saying unless you were playing the game, a lot of times, and so that's one area, and then I also think this group of young people, they are, as Coach said, they're a Y generation, where if you explain to them why they have to do things a certain way. Back when I was playing, it was just because Coach said so. You do it because
exactly.
I said so. And now, so there's a what we're doing, there's a how we want to do it, but the why is important to be able to, for them to receive it, understand it, and then they'll be as loyal as any other generation.
Just a minute or so left. How do you know it's going to be a successful season? What's the mark?
I think it's our team chemistry and just where we're at, just as a team and a program, and watching our players come in on a daily basis with that hunger and that heart, and watching them encourage each other because they don't care about individual successes, they care about team success. I think that's really why we will stand different this year than we have in other years past.
How about you, Lavelle? What's a successful 16-17 season?
You know what? We just we preach that consistency is the mark of a champion. And, if I'm trying to get my workout regimented and I'm trying to be consistent at that, and you have to make decisions each and every day, as Coach is saying, to commit. And I think if we feel like at the end of the year that we started to gain some consistency in different areas, whether it be off the court and on, we'll mark that as a successful season and not put any limitations in terms of results, but not focus on that necessarily. We'll just embrace the process and try to be consistent as we can. Be better today than yesterday, and not as good as tomorrow.
So an invitation to the fans, come down to the Kwachi to see the women play, and down to the Milwaukee Panther Arena.
Certainly, and it'll be a whole new arena to come to, so please make it out. Bring a friend.
And just go to uwm.edu, go click on athletics, and you could find the schedule for both men's and women's.
Absolutely.
Best of luck to both of you. Thanks for joining us as we take a look in the periscope at what might be coming over these next few months of exciting collegiate sports.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
Lavelle Jordan, UWM's new head men's basketball coach, and Kyle Recklitz, beginning her fifth season as the women's coach, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.